for with Christ I am an heir. Too much fault to find, you sure to be left behind while I go sailing through the air. I'm gonna take a trip in the good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm beating this world to mine. Oh yes, and I'm gonna take a trip in the good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm beating. Worship the good Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Let's praise Him in His house.
Mighty. like he'd been in a fight. He wrestled with the angel all through the night. His friend said, Jacob, how'd you get in this mess? He smiled and told him, I got blessed, I got blessed.
Yeah. Let's worship the Lord. Come on, church. Let's magnify the name of our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made. Ah, somebody in the back, lift your hands and love him. Somebody on the sides, worship him today. Hallelujah. Somebody in the choir, rejoice in the Lord. Can I say rejoice? Hallelujah, hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We magnify you. Ah, we glorify you. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Take a couple moments, would you, church? Step across the aisle. Step a few rows back. Amen. Welcome your neighbor into the house of the Lord. Thank you, choir. Hallelujah. Let's love him today. Appreciate the Spirit of the Lord. Appreciate you being in God's house with us today. Amen. If you love the Lord, say amen. 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 Appreciate each and every one. Deacons, help me this morning. Let's worship the Lord, our tithes and offerings today. Amen. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord. Look forward to what the Lord has planned for us today. Amen. I want to receive everything God's got for us. Amen. I believe the table is set. The table is spread. Come and dine. Amen. Looking forward to what God's got for us today in the house of the Lord. Let's give our tithes and offerings to the Lord. God bless you for your faithfulness. Amen. To the house of the Lord and the work of the Lord. Amen. Brother Jeremy Miles, lead us to the Lord in prayer, please. Amen. God bless you as you give. Quartet, come on, get ready to sing for us this morning. Amen. Got a few announcements I'd like to remind you of, and that is this Saturday is a really big day in the life of Brother Nathaniel and Sister Shayla. So 3 o'clock Saturday, their wedding will take place here in the sanctuary. So we invite each and every one of you to be with us and celebrate what God is doing in their life and continue to pray for them. The Lord would use them for His glory in the church, and I appreciate that. Brother Mark Brand, I remember years ago in Bible college talking about how you know it's time to get married and to find the will of God, and that's that you can do more for married God than you can single. And how many found that to be true, that God brings a companion in your life to work for the Lord, amen, to do something for the body of Christ. And Brother Nathaniel and Sister Shayla are excited about doing that. They're already working for the Lord and already got plans and ideas for things God has put on their hearts. So I'm excited to see what God's going to do through them for us. Also, September the 10th is the first responder service. If you know a fireman, a policeman, a medic, an EMT, invite them to be with you in the house of the Lord on that Sunday. And we're specifically honoring them. And then after the service will be a dinner given to them in their honor. The only requirement is we want to know how many are coming. So make sure they go to the church website, or you do, and RSVP, so we know they're going to be here. So if you know on the job a volunteer fireman, or you know a full-time fireman or policeman or an EMT, invite them to be with you that day in the house of the Lord as we celebrate those that serve us and we serve them that day. Amen. Also good to see Sister Cindy Morris today, Brother Randy, and their family. Of course, we've been lifting them up in prayer. And some of you know the path that Sister Cindy has walked recently, losing her sister. But we just want to continue to pray for her and lift her up. Good to see her in the house of the Lord. Pray for her mom and dad, and the Lord would just comfort them. And as God has comforted you, I know He will comfort them and continue to. And just give us the promise of a reunion day when we'll all stand on the shores of glory, not subject to death anymore. I'm glad for the hope that we have in Jesus, aren't you? Amen. Let's worship with the quartet today. God bless you.
I am going over yonder to that heavenly home, where my Jesus is awaiting me beside the shining throne. And when He calls my number, I will leave this earthly ground. I'll sing and shout, for without a doubt my soul will be homeward bound.
and I will forever be with my Lord.
And my loved ones gone before. I will be singing all around God's throne, over on the beautiful shore. Children, now get ready, pack your bags, it's time to go. For it won't be long till he bids us home, we'll leave this world below. So keep your eyes on the eastern skies, for his coming is at hand. I will stand each day, say, Lord, I pray to live in that promised land.
And I am going over there,
going over by the crystal sea,
over there,
over there,
over there,
over there in the morning I will be.
And I will forever be with my Lord,
and my loved ones gone before. I will be singing all around God's throne, over on the beautiful, cheerful shore. Children, now get ready, pack your bags, it's time to go. Or it won't be long till he bids us home, we'll leave this world below. So keep your eyes on the eastern skies, for his coming is at hand. I will stand each day saying, Lord, I pray to live in that promised land.
And I am going over there,
going over by the crystal sea,
over there,
over there,
over there,
over there in the morning I will be.
And I will forever be with my Lord,
and my loved ones gone before. I will be singing all around God's throne, over on the beautiful shore.
And I am going over there,
going over by the crystal sea,
over there,
over there,
over there,
over there in the morning I will be.
And I will forever be with my Lord,
and my loved ones gone before. I will be singing all around God's throne, over on the beautiful shore.
Hallelujah. Thank God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, I've got several scriptures I want to read for you. And if you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, Acts chapter number 20 and 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, also Revelation 1. Acts 20, 1 Corinthians 16, and Revelation chapter number 1. As you're turning there, we have several guests with us today in God's house, and I think it's Tim and Sydney and Abigail, so glad to have them in the house of the Lord, and some with Sister Amanda right there on her row, and glad to have them. Sister Taylor's family come to encourage her today. She was a little homesick, so she's feeling better with her big brother standing by her side, I'm sure. Amen. And so we appreciate you being in the house of the Lord. Let's let them know we're glad to have them in God's house today. Amen. We can do better than that, church. Come on. We're glad to have them in God's house today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Amen. Amen. Revelation chapter number 1 is where I want to start, and I'll show you what I want to preach about today, and then we'll kind of work backwards to a couple other scriptures. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 10. I want to talk to you today about honoring the Lord's Day. Honoring the Lord's Day. And honestly, this burden probably has, the last 2 or 3 years, has been on my heart and my mind. It's just kind of the secularization of the Lord's Day in our country and the devaluing of this experience that we have today in the house of the Lord. And so I don't know if I'll do as much preaching today as I will just talking. I don't know. I've probably got more in my mind to say concerning this topic than anything I've preached in a long, long time. So there's no way I'll get to it all. I just trust the Lord will let me say it and shape it in such a way that it'll be beneficial for all of us today. And so in Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 9, the Bible says this, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. I want that phrase, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. On the Lord's day. On the Lord's day. Honoring the Lord's day. Turn with me to Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 7. Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 7. The Bible says, and upon the first day of the week, notice that, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, and Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. That happened on the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, verse number 2, one more verse and then I'll let you be seated. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 2, the Bible said, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come, upon the first day of the week. God bless you as you're seated today in the presence of the Lord. As I said, I want to talk to you about honoring the Lord's day. Three thoughts I want to bring to your attention, and that is the person reverenced on the Lord's day. The person that is reverenced on the Lord's day. I want to talk to you about the pattern revealed for the Lord's day from the Scriptures. The pattern revealed. And finally, I want to talk about the period required for the Lord's day. The Lord's day. All right, so I want to talk to you about the person we reverence, the pattern that is revealed, and then the period that is required for the Lord's day. The person reverenced on this day. There is no doubt, as we study the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, many, many times on that first Easter, Resurrection Sunday, all four of the Gospel writers give to us details that happened on the first day of the week. Matthew instructs us with Mary Magdalene in the garden that it happened on the first day of the week. The same story is written by Mark, and as Mark writes about the first day of the week, or that first Easter morning, Mark reminds us that there was a message from Christ specifically to the disciples and Peter, because Jesus wanted to restore Peter. Luke, in his account of writing about the first Easter events, gives to us the conversation of the disciples on the Emmaus Road and reminds us that it happened on the first day of the week, or that first Easter, those events transpired. Even John writes about that first Easter and the first events of that day when he talked about that he and Peter ran to the tomb. John reminded us that he outran Peter to the tomb, but when he came to the door of the tomb, the door of the sepulcher, he paused, just looking upon the burial clothes of Jesus, and Peter ran into the tomb. It was John adding his excitement about running to the resurrection spot of the Lord Jesus Christ. I bring that to your attention because the first day of the week, that first Easter was something so powerful that it brought about a creative change in the order of events in the lives of all of those men. Up until that point, we know there was 2 millennia of Sabbaths that the Jews had maintained, that every Saturday, every Sabbath, they were faithful in their observance of that sabbatical order. But yet on Easter, on that first day of the week, or that first Sunday when Jesus got up from the grave, it was a creative change. It was a creative order in the process of the disciples. Never before had they begun to assemble themselves together to worship the risen Christ. But that first Easter, things changed dramatically for the disciples and subsequently for the church for ages to come. Think about it, that first Easter when Jesus arose and the news begins to travel to the disciples, the Bible records in John chapter number 20 that they assembled together for fear of the Jews. Not only did they assemble to celebrate the resurrected Christ, but they assembled to encourage one another to hold the faith. I want to remind you that it was not just the crucifixion in and of itself that changed the life of the disciples, but it was the resurrection that caused the disciples to believe that the one who died on the cross was indeed the Messiah, the true and the living one. That on Saturday, the disciples had not been changed by what happened on Friday. Remember that. On Saturday, they were still mesmerized. They were still discouraged. They were still despondent. But on Sunday, on Easter, when Jesus arose and news started traveling and Jesus started appearing to his disciples, those, my friend, were the men that were changed by the dramatic events of Christ, and they become the foundation of the church to where we still shout 2,000 years later on some of their proclamations. Amen. I appreciate what Jesus did on Calvary. Without the blood of Jesus, none of us could be saved. But how many realize that if there was a crucifixion without a resurrection, he would have been an imposter and our faith would have been in vain. But he is alive today with all power in heaven and in earth. And it changed the sabbatical order of those disciples, that no longer was it a Sabbath of rest, but now it was a Sunday of celebration, that the one they had put their faith in, the one that was crucified, the one that was put in a borrowed tomb, was now alive with all power in heaven and in earth. So I want to be emphatically clear this morning that the meeting place and the meeting reason for the disciples was this: it was to celebrate that Jesus is alive. It was a time of joy. It was a time of celebration. It was a time of glorifying the one who was that lowly Galilean, but he was alive with all power in heaven and in earth. All of the writing that you can find among the early church, it was a celebration day. It was a day of joy. It was a day of jubilation. It was a day of praise. It was a day of worship. It was a day of glorifying Jesus Christ, because he was, and friend, he is alive today. Matter of fact, even one of the early church fathers, Tertullian, if you read any of church history, there was a discussion that arose in the second century. Tertullian would not allow kneeling during Sunday worship. Tertullian would not allow the believers to kneel on Sunday. He wanted them kneeling and prostrate the rest of the week in prayer, but not on Sunday. Not on Sunday. Because on Sunday, he said, it was a time of celebration. It was a time of joy. It was a time when we should not come as a subject before a king begging for mercy, but rather we as a son and daughter of God should approach the Father with favor in our lives and joy and worship the Lord. He said there should be no action in the church that would give the devil advantage or give the devil to think there's any anxiety or despondency in the church. Catch that. Anxiety or despondency in the church. He didn't want anybody kneeling. He wanted everybody rejoicing. Friend, I come to tell you, the early church, they did not have funerals on Sunday. They did not come and pay homage to a dead Lord. But if we could have taken a peek inside of Acts chapter number 20, 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, John on Patmos on Revelation 1, it was not weeping, it was not mourning, it was not funeral-like, but it would have been thunderous celebration that Jesus got up with power over death, hell, and the grave. Amen.
and 2,000 years later, I still feel that spirit in my heart today, that it should not be a funeral when we gather together on the Lord's Day. It should not be that we droop our heads in anxiety or show any despondency in our life, but with thunderous and triumphant acclamation, we ought to shout to the top of our ability, Jesus got up. I said, Jesus got up with all power over death, hell, and the grave. I didn't come to magnify you or me today, but I come to hide myself behind the cross and to lift up that name above every name, that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, give us that Tertullian spirit that will not bow in the face of adversity. Amen. The first day of the week. But notice, John in his writing in Revelation chapter number 1 describes that first day of the week as the Lord's day. The Lord's day, the first day, the first day of the week, the Lord's day. And so as we look to Scripture, the Lord's day, is it indeed the first day of the week? And as we study history, we understand that John's writing 60 years after the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. 6 decades later, 60 years removed. And so John shows us that customarily that first day of the week has now been entitled the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day. I'll talk to you a little bit about Constantine and how we got Sunday. But for the first 300 years of early church history, it was the Lord's Day. It was the Lord's Day. It was the day of the Lord, not in an eschatological point of view, but it was the Lord's Day that we were giving honor, that we were giving praise. It was the Lord's Day. It was no longer the first day of the week. I want you to catch that. I want you to get that in your spirit. It was the Lord's Day. It was, we're going to reverence Him. We're going to reverence Him. We're going to reverence Him. And I want you to catch this as well. In the first 300 years of human in church history, there was no record that the Lord's Day had become the Christian Sabbath. No sir. It was not just a Christian Sabbath. And what I mean by that is they didn't just take the sabbatical perspectives and the sabbatical code of living and transfer it to Sunday. No, there was no translation. It was a new creative order. It was something brand new. It wasn't a former way of life that they brought to Sunday. It wasn't a former way of life that codified to a new day. But no sir, it was a brand new way of living. That Jesus was the first fruits of the resurrection. That He was not a continuation of the past, but it was a creative order. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And so the early church, when they celebrated on the Lord's Day, they were celebrating they had become new creatures in Christ Jesus. It was not just a former life that had been transposed to a new day. It was the Lord's Day. Somebody shout, thank God for the Lord's Day. Thank God for the Lord's Day. This, my friend, is the Lord's Day. The person reverenced on that day. Number two, look with me in Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 7. And I believe we have the pattern revealed for the Lord's Day. Again, 20 some years after the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Christ, Paul now is on his third missionary journey. So it's 20 years after the ascension of Christ, and the early church is still meeting on, as Paul writes, the first day of the week. Or what John tells us later is the Lord's Day, and customarily become the Lord's Day for the first 300 years of church history. And so here's the pattern. What did they do on the Lord's Day? Paul says, and he writes, Luke records Paul's actions rather, when the disciples. I don't expect the world to be excited about the Lord's Day. I expect the world to use it as a day to fish. I expect the world to use it as a day to catch up on cutting the grass. But the disciples, came together. Notice the wording, they came together. The disciples came together in fellowship. The disciples came together to encourage one another, to inspire one another. The individualism of America, or the glorification of the family unit in America, flies in the face of the tenor of what the early church did on the Lord's Day. They would come together. They would come together to encourage one another in the faith. You got to understand, the early church was so countercultural, they were dying for their faith. They were getting locked up for their faith. And so they were looking forward to the coming of the Lord's Day to encourage one another. Amen. No wonder they greeted each other with "Maranatha, the Lord cometh." Maranatha, they were encouraging one another. We cannot give up the faith. We cannot give up the faith. We cannot give up the faith. We've got to hold on. We've got to hold on. Put your faith in Jesus. Put your faith in the Son of God. They came together. Amen. If there'd be a whole lot more coming together in the church among the disciples, there'd be a whole lot more falling out. But some can't come together because they've got aught one with another. But notice, the early church came together and they broke bread. Amen. Sometimes this probably included communion, but I don't believe every time, every Lord's Day, it included communion. But they broke bread in fellowship. It was significant in the idea that they were fellowshipping at the same table, that they were identifying as a new nucleus of believers. They were identifying that we are in the church. Amen. To break bread with somebody extenuated fellowship. It accentuated the idea that we're born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we're part of the church. We don't worship Nero, and we don't worship the gods of this world, but we have our faith in the resurrected Lord of glory, and him alone. It was a sign of fellowship. It was a sign of taking on the name of Jesus Christ. Oh my God, I want to magnify that name. I want to lift up that name. There is but one name that called me out of sin. Ah, that name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now catch this, Paul preached. So they preached and taught the scriptures. Now I'm going to do you a little bit better. Paul preached till midnight. Me and Paul have a lot in common. Paul rocked them to sleep. Looked like I've been given that same gift at times. This is the story of Eutychus. But notice, they came together in fellowship. I could stop right now and preach on that the rest of the day. There's a responsibility when you're part of the church. When you are unfaithful to the Lord's Day, when you dishonor the Lord's Day, you're taxing the body of Christ. When you're unfaithful to the Lord's Day, when you dishonor the Lord's Day, you're not there to encourage the brothers. You're not there to break bread in fellowship. You're not there to be inspired by the Word of God. You're not there, as they did in this story, to obey the Spirit. Because as Eutychus falls, they raise him back to life. They obeyed the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, more of the pattern of the order of the first day was this. He said, as God has so prospered you, let him lay in store. They received offerings on the first day of the week. They received their tithes, their alms, and their offerings on the Lord's Day. It's a joy to be in God's house. It's a joy to be in fellowship. It's a joy to be able to break bread. It's a joy to be able to obey the Spirit. It's a joy to be able to preach. I hope it's a joy to hear preaching. It's a joy to be able to obey the Spirit. It's a joy to be able to give offerings and alms and tithes to the Lord. Somebody glad for the Lord's Day, say thank God for the Lord's Day. Oh, thank God for the Lord's Day. And so, let me talk to you about the period required for the Lord's Day. I'll be done and out of your way. The followers of Jesus, let me emphasize again, in the early church were mainly Jewish. So,
a lot of their Lord's Day would have started on the sunset before what you and I would call Sunday morning. The Jewish calendar went sunset to sunset. So no doubt a lot of these early meetings took place maybe late Saturday night after the sunset, on the which would have been the morning of the first day of the week. But as the Gentiles become part of the church, as the Gentile influence becomes part of the church, they operate from a calendar that is from midnight to midnight. And so a lot of the Gentiles would worship on Sunday morning. Some of them even before they went on to other responsibilities. They'd worship the Lord, go through their system or their code of worshiping the Lord. And for the first 300 years of church history, it stayed in that order. But Constantine comes along in 321 and thereafter. I don't know what you feel about Constantine, his experience, his salvation, if it was genuine or authentic, but here's what I do know. Constantine's family, prior to his conversion, if you accept his conversion, worshiped the sun, the S-U-N. They worshiped the sun. And so Constantine put out this decree that said on the day of the sun, which would be the day after Saturn Day, that there would be no work, that men would cease from their labors. In a society in whole would have a day of rest. Many have written from a historical perspective and said that's when the early church started meeting on the first day of the week. Friend, I hope you realize we have walked through Scripture today, and the early church met on the Lord's Day long before the order, decree of Constantine. But he called it the day of the sun, Sunday. And then writing seems to merge away from the Lord's Day. And now it was Sunday. And it was no longer just the church observing this day. Now society in general has a day off work. Society in general doesn't have to work. And some of the sabbatical laws of the Jewish community now is transposed, and it's almost as if Constantine created a Christian Sabbath on the day of the sun, S-U-N, which followed Saturn Day, which we call Saturday. And so some people say, well, Sunday, what does that mean? Well, Constantine said it's the day of the sun, S-U-N. But the believers were worshiping on the Lord's Day, so it was the day of the sun, the S-O-N. This is not a day for me to hunt. It's not a day for me to fish. It's not an extra travel day or vacation day. It's a day of the S-O-N, not the S-U-N. I wish I had a witness right there. I wish I had a Bible reader right there. It's the day of the Lord. It's the day of the S-O-N. And so the problem arises when those that are trying to observe the S-U-N day have more influence than those that are worshiping the S-O-N day. But I'm going to tell you, friend, I'm glad to be able to come to the house of the Lord and worship the S-O-N. O-N. It is the day of the Lord. Oh, somebody lift your hands and love God this morning. Hallelujah. Christians observed, Justo Gonzalez said, the first day of the week, the day of the Lord, is a day of worship with no particular thought of resting on that day, and scant connection with the Sabbath. They worshiped. They gathered together and magnified and lifted up the name of the Lord. They worshiped. We're not careful. We have so secularized the Lord's Day. Some of you can't get to church on time because you'd rather sleep than worship. Some don't come to the altar to pray because of the steakhouse or the roast in the oven. It's a day of worship. It's not your day. It's not a day to catch up on the things we didn't get done all week. It's a day of worship. It's a day of celebration. It's a day to magnify the Lord of glory, where I forget about everything else. That's why the Puritans, they wrote it this way, that the Lord's day is kept holy unto the Lord when men, after a due preparing for their hearts and ordering of their common affairs beforehand, do not only observe a holy rest all the day from their own works, words, and thoughts about their worldly employments and recreations, but also are taken up the whole time in public and private exercise of worship and in the duties of necessity and piety. They said, lay everything aside. Lay it aside. Lay it aside. I feel some of you trying to grab a hold of what you do all week long on Sunday. I can't get that cell phone out of your hand. I can't get that computer out of your hand. I can't get that book out of your hand. But the Lord's day is just that. It is a day to forget about everything else. It's not a day to travel. Preach, pastor. It's not a day to shop. Preach, preacher. It's not a day to go on vacation. It's not a day to catch up at the lake. It's not a day to lay around and do nothing. But it's a day to worship. It's a day to worship. It's a day to celebrate. It's a day to sing. It's a day to preach. It's a day to clap your hands. It's a day to celebrate that Jesus got up. I said Jesus got up. I know they put him in a tomb. I know they sealed the tomb. And I know he stayed dead all day Saturday. I know he stayed dead all Saturday night. But I said early Sunday morning, I said he got up. I said he got up with power over death. He got up with power over the grave. He got up with power over hell. He got up with power over sickness. He got up with power over sin. And my God, one day he reached down and pulled me out of sin and put me in the body of Christ. And every Sunday, every Lord's day, I come to celebrate that Jesus Christ is alive. Oh, somebody lift your hand and thank God for the Lord's day. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, we can do better than that. Let's stand and celebrate the Lord's Day. Oh, celebrate the Lord's Day. Celebrate, celebrate, celebrate the Lord's Day. Glory, 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 glory. Oh, nobody, 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 nobody like Jesus. Glory, glory. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. What I say cannot be backed up by scientific data, I realize. But I really feel like if the early church would have been as secular toward the Lord's day as we are, we wouldn't have to worry much about a church. It would have been extinguished. It would have been snuffed out. But it's the Lord's day. So let me give you five reasons why we still have church on Sunday night. You can't get any statistics among the holiness churches because we don't report statistics. We're so independent. But in a lot of denominations, it's down to 5% having church on Sunday night. I realize some drive an hour to get to church. I realize that on Sunday, and it'd be hard, almost impossible. But what about those that are just sitting at home? What about those that are just home watching their computers? Or worse. What about those people? We still have church on Sunday night because people lack a knowledge of God's Word. We need to know the Word of the Lord. So we study God's Word all day long. All day long. Hebrews 10 and 25 says, as you see the day of the Lord approaching, you should gather together so much the more. So if there's any time we should be coming to church more, if there's any time you should be more faithful to the house of the Lord, it's the closer we get to the return of Jesus Christ. Not less. Somebody shout more. More. There's a cost to following Jesus. Do you love him enough to give him the whole day? Do you love him enough to give him the whole day? Or do you love him just enough to give him an hour? Or can he have the day? Do you love him that much? Stress levels and anxiety are all time highs among people. And nobody sees the connection with the lack of prayer, the lack of Bible study, and the lack of attending church. Sunday evening is a unique time to preach to the church. On Sunday morning, a lot of times there's an evangelistic appeal. But on Sunday night, it's an easier time to preach just to the believers. So do you love the Word enough? Do you love the presence of Jesus enough? Do you love your Savior enough to come back? And if you're really that spiritual, you ought to come back just to encourage somebody else. Not that you even got to be preached to. But if you're all that in a bag of chips, you ought to come back to encourage those of us who aren't that spiritual. Sunday night church allows times for other preachers and guest missionaries to speak into our lives. Lift your hands and say, thank the Lord for the Lord's day. Thank you, Lord, for the Lord's day. Thank you, Lord, for the Lord's day. Ah, what about it, young folks? What about it, mom and dad? What about it, church? One more time, let's lift our hands and love him. Let's worship like Jesus is alive and we know it to be so. Like we know it, like we know it, like we know it to be so. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Just in a moment, we're going to come around this altar. Hallelujah. And let's worship like we thought the early church might have on that first Easter or that second Sunday when Thomas showed up and seen the hands and the scars of Jesus. Why don't we gather into this altar this morning and worship him like it was that first Lord's Day, like we know that he got up with all power over death, hell, and the grave. I'm going to invite you to come right now, meet me at this altar. Hallelujah. Let's magnify and glorify the name of the risen Lord. Hallelujah. Let's worship.